World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Yeah, my day's already screwed up. You say, well, it's already screwed up. Lord, let the words of our lips and the meditation of our heart be pleasing in your sight today, in Jesus' name. Amen. We say, what do you mean? Well, I was going to mow. And now it's already rained just enough. I can't mow. I can't. Now I got a lot of other stuff to do. But, you know, I plan out to, this is Wednesday. I want it to look nice for the weekend. Start running out. But anyway, you guys don't feel bad about that. Welcome, man. Welcome. And I got some unbelievably great stuff to share with you today. Let me do a little bit of housekeeping before I get too far into this thing. I was sharing people in the pre-show. If you happen to be joining right now, sharing people in the pre-show, the distraction that I get when we're doing the show, because on, I don't know if you know this or not, on my screen all your faces pop up. So if we're like Ray or LeBlanc, I don't know if you guys can see this. Spencer, I don't know if they can see it. If Ray were to open up his camera, I would see Ray on my screen. But I would see Gene beside him, who's not open, his camera isn't open. But I see the name, right? And so I get distracted sometimes by people when the screen, when you turn your camera on, I see you. And so sometimes I get myself trapped and I say, what do you think about that, Betty? Because Betty is on my screen. Not that I need Betty's approval. Okay. Although I love you, Betty. I like having your approval, but I don't need it. So I was just trying to start something new here today. If you're in the queue, and we're glad you're in the queue, leave your camera off till it's time to speak. When it's time to speak, boom, click the camera on and we go from there. All right. Oh my goodness. My goodness. I'm burdened here. Got a lot of stuff, man. A lot of stuff going on. I'm telling you, I hope you've been enjoying the series on the demonic, and we're going to be on that a little bit today as well. And, God, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. I got to show you this real quickly before I go much farther. Last week, Martin came over, and I was talking about the what they call data centers that are folks that are already popping it up all around us. You say, Coach, what's this have to do with me? Pull up number one. This is in the Cleveland paper today. Ohio's biggest data centers secured decades of tax breaks. Folks, it's already here. I'm not going to take time to read all this article to you, but I scroll down a little something, Spence. I saw something today that made me gag. Hang on, right there, there. Look. Ohio lawmakers, it's just Ohio. It's coming to a city near you, state near you. Ohio lawmakers are trying to scale back a controversial data center tax break. By the way, the tax break was given to Amazon, Meta, and Google in 2014. How many years ago is that? That'd be 12, thank you. 12 years ago, our Ohio government gave to Amazon, Meta, and Google agreements, 100% sales tax exemptions for 40 years. Did you pick that up? They pay no sales tax for 40 years. And last year alone, the state gave up $1.5 billion in tax revenue because of these. Is that unbelievable? So they gave tax breaks to these dudes back in 2014. And now it's cost us $1.5 billion in tax revenue just last year. These big data companies are making this money and they ain't paying taxes on it. Coming to a town near you. How many years? 40 years. 40 years. Ohio's home to more than 200 operating data centers, including the one that we're looking up right here. Just building this. Martin was in town. I said that about Martin. I drove, took him, Martin and I went out riding around. And it's unbelievable. Folks, it's unbelievable. It is unbelievable. Go at the top of this, Spencer. Go to the top of it. This is just one of them. Where's this one? Under a major, multiple rapid deploy modular servers halls are seen under construction at Meta's Prometheus AI Supercenter campus in New Albany, Ohio, home of Les Wexner, thank you. Locating along Morse Road, these tent-style structures allow Meta to bring 1 gigawatt facility online in a fraction of the time required for traditional concrete data centers. Folks, we're going to get into it today, okay? It's right at us. Okay, it's already at. It's already coming to. They're after the water. I think I already told you that they're after the water. So I want to show you that, and then I want to move. I just got some good stuff. Okay,
here we go. Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Before you move on, I got a question. Where are the climate activists about these data centers? Remember they made a big fuss, right? They made a big fuss about everything else, but they ignored.
Where are the climate activists, Vinny? Good get. Where are they? Huh? Can I tell you what's going on? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against evil spirits in high places. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, not government, not Michael DeWine. No, those aren't our weapons. Our weapons are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, cast down imaginations and every high and lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bring them to captivity to the obedience of Christ. We're trying to win spiritual battles with politics. And the love of money is the root of all evil. And every one of these guys that this stuff's going on, they're lying in their pockets. You understand what's going on? It's spiritual, folks. It isn't political. It isn't any of that. Oh my goodness, gotta hang in there with me, okay? I got some great stuff for you today. By the way, how about this one? Pull up number 2. I'm going to give you some good news. Look at that. Hey, JR, congratulations. Florida. Officially, Faith and Family Month in Florida. Local action, national impact. Now, nobody will ever say this, and when they stick JR in the ground, nobody's going to say that JR Harrison was the father of the Faith and Family movement. He is. We tip our cap to you, JR. Keep after it. Again, showing what? We can win. But we're not all on the same page. But now it's in Florida. It's in Tennessee. It's in several others. They've picked it up and they're running with it, right? Okay, cool. Hang on, stay with me. Oh, I got some good stuff for you today. Because we've been talking about demonology. I'm going to stop here for a second. I'm going to give you, here's what I love about the show. It's give and take, right? You guys know this, that I can tell a story about a dog that'll make a cat cry. And I could talk for 60 minutes and never invite you in. But the magic of Coach Dave Live, I think, is the give and take. What you say matters. This isn't church where you come and listen to the pastor and nobody ever asks a question and you go home. This is give and take. And I know what I want to talk to y'all about today, but maybe somebody sitting in the pew has a question. So I'm going to stop right now. Does anybody have a question that's burning, maybe from a show yesterday or a week ago, something that's popped in? Anybody? Speak now or forever hold your peace. I'm watching right now to see if a hand pops up. If it does and I call on you, then you can open your screen if you want. If not, that's okay. It's okay. Now, also bear with me. It's a little bit of time delay. Some people watch on Facebook. Some people watch other places. So sometimes there's a time delay. And I say, come on in, Betty. And then she doesn't come in for a while. Maybe she's watching on the time delay. So let's bear with, okay? We've been talking about demons, the spiritual world. And I got some really, really good stuff. That, again, you guys know what a squatter is? Of course you do. And we think about this every once in a while with Sky High, because we we lease it out. What do we do if they never leave? What do you do if they never leave? Your renter never leaves. It's called squatting. What do you do? And so you know what's going on? We got demons squatting on us. They came in and they ain't leaving. Till we evict them. Had a guy tried to do that to us, I don't know, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years ago, whatever. He's all of a sudden decided he was going to live at Sky High. Oh, yeah, yeah. And I called the police and I said, hey, would you guys get this guy out of here? Why? I evicted him. Hey! Same way in the spiritual realm. Oh, yeah. Yeah. A spirit can only stay where it's been invited and welcomed. Oh, that we would know more about this. God, that we would know more about this. Here's where some of you are trapped. Oh, I got so much good stuff to give you. Pull up number 8. Pull up number 8. My ears are attuned to this, okay? Hey, friends. The whole name it, claim it, Christianity, blab it, grab it, Christianity, has destroyed Christianity, in my opinion. Name it and claim it, blab it and grab it. But I want you to tell you something. You hearing me? The old coach loves you, okay? A lot of you are your own worst enemies. Scripture says that we're to take captive every thought. It goes on to say every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bring it into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Meaning this, you have to capture your thoughts. I can't tell you the number of conversations that I have with people. I love, hey, just tell them the truth. And if it's you, I'm sorry. The number of conversations that I have with people who their conversation is always about what happened to them. They're still trapped. It's 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, and they're still trapped. What? In that mindset. They're trapped in a mindset. Bible says that there's, okay, Bible verses about the power of the tongue. I catch myself, it's just kind of the natural reaction of man. Got to be careful, I said to somebody, that your thoughts can break into words at any time. I was driving down the road the other day, and Michelle was with me, and she said something, and I'm telling you, I had the perfect response. I was going to prove I was right. You guys know what I'm talking about? I had the perfect response. And I know this, that if I dropped that perfect response on her, it would have been crushing to her. She needed encouraged, not discouraged, right? And you know what I did? I took captive that thought. And I didn't say it. And I wonder how many of you out there could look at a point in your life where you said something that you wish you could take back. Raise your hand, class. Huh? That's me, coach. You're talking to me now. Yep, yep. I wonder how many of you have a ruined relationship because of something you said. Or you said it and they took it in a way you didn't mean it. Come on now. Come on. Right. Because life and death, the power of life and death's in the tongue. And we'll tell you this, I'm not a name it, claim it, blab it, grab it kind of guy, but I can tell you this, a lot of you are speaking damnation to yourself. You're your own worst enemy. So let's just sit here a minute. You don't have to raise your hand. By the way, this is working out good. I'm not distracted by people smiling at me. If you want to raise your hand, you raise your hand, and then I'll call you, and then you can open your screen. How about this one? Here's 12 powerful verses about the power of your tongue, my tongue. How many of you ever said this? I knew that was going to happen. I knew that was going to happen. I saw that one coming. Right? Proverbs 8:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Just the other day, I was talking about the way they treated me in London. How many years ago is that, Michelle? 1997. That's a while ago, isn't it? 1997, be like almost 30 years, almost 30 years ago. And I started talking about something somebody did to me 30 years ago in London. And my wife said, "Why won't you let that go?" What a question. Why 30 years later, I'm still being influenced by that? I thought there's victory in Jesus. I ain't walking in victory on that. 2, James. Even so, the tongue is a little, I hear this all, I hear people speak damnation all the time to themselves and to relationships. I hear it all the time. Even so, the tongue's a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So that is the tongue among our members. Your tongue defiles the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. Hey, boys and girls, you better learn to control your tongue. You want your life to get better? Stop saying everything you think. Vinny, that's boom. I give you permission to say boom, Vinny. Boom. Stop saying every thought that comes to your head. Stop it. Take captive every thought and bring it into the obedience of Christ. What does Christ say about that situation? 3, Proverbs, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. But for perverseness therein is a breach of the spirit. I got some people, you do too. I have some people I don't even want to talk to because they're a downer. Somebody give me a thumbs up. Every time I talk to them, I hear their problems. I hear their past. I hear their downer, yada, 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 yada. It doesn't mean their situation isn't real. Stop glorifying your situation. Stop it. Stop it. Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. I think I'll eat a worm. Well, it's going to be like that forever if you continue to say that. Why? Because out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth speaking. That's what's in your heart. Boy, this is a boom. 4, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keeps his soul from trouble. What's your soul? Mind, will, and emotions. You. If you keep your tongue, keep your soul from troubles. How hard is it to get up in the morning and say, "Lord, just thank you for this wonderful day. I can't wait for the great things that are going to happen today." Or do you get up in the morning and say, "Oh no, what's going to happen today?" How are you living your life? It's a mindset. Psalm 34:13, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking guile. 6, Proverbs 12. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. Damn, this is good, isn't it? I'm talking to some of you. Hey, I'm talking to me. I find myself speaking damnation to me all the time. I know it's going to rain tomorrow, and hell, then I won't be able to mow, and then I'll be backed up, and I'll never get, huh? Come on! Proverbs 7, and 10:19, in the multitude of words there wasteth not. In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin. But he that refraineth his lips is wise. Don't say everything you think. 8, pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Dang it, gone. 9, Ephesians 4, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of what? Building up and edifying people, that it may minister grace to the healers. So instead of you and me, and Michelle, and all we love, always complaining about what happened to us, why don't we talk about the victory we got over that? Why don't we glorify the Lord? And yeah, we went through that, and it sure sucked, but look at me now. I'm still standing better than I ever did, looking like a true survivor, looking like a little kid. I'm still standing after all this time. Right? Elton John sang that. You don't want to talk about that. You want to talk about how much people wronged you 20 years ago, and you are still in prison to them. Hang on. I'm talking to me. I'm talking to me. I'm not talking to you. By the way, if the shoe fits, wear it. Just ask yourself, do people want to be around you because of your encouraging spirit, or do they want you to shut up because they're tired of hearing your troubles? Okay, I got you. I got you. Where am I? Colossians 10. Wait a minute. I do Ephesians, let no corrupt communication proceed out of our mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. I want people to be around me because I'm always saying good things. I'm always encouraging them. I'm always encouraging them. That's why. Huh? Oh, they did that to you? Damn. And you're this far? You made it this far? You mean they did that to you? Your ex-husband did that to you, and you're still up and fighting. Wow! Because you think you're going to go through life without a little bit of trouble. You're drunk as a skunk. Where am I? 11. No. Uh-uh. 10. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Did you ever get around somebody and they just went gone on and on? You just didn't want to hear anyone say, hey, I know what your problem is. You're spending too much time thinking about you. I got it figured out. If you start thinking about others and what a blessing you'd be to others, your problem's probably going to go away. Oh man, this is so good. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. Friends, look, I don't love all of you. I don't know all of you. As my buddy, the guy you said, love you in the Lord. Are you uplifting? Or are you still trapped in something somebody did to you 2 years ago? You're still trapped by that? You mean they're still got a hold of you? You haven't talked to them in 3 years and they're still holding you? Are you kidding me? Matthew says, by saying to you that every idle word the men shall speak, they're going to give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Oh, they're going to get, their judgment day's coming. You don't need to judge them. You don't need to suck your thumb and whine and moan and how mean they were. No. Their day's coming. For by your words, you shall be justified. And by your words, you shall be condemned. My brother, somewhere it says, should blessing and cursing come out of the same mouth? God forbid. I don't even know where that one is. God forbid. God forbid. Blessing and cursing would come out of the same mouth. Man, oh man, oh man. Okay, I'm going to run down this through real quickly, and then I'm going to open it up. Bring up number 10. Because we're talking about the demonic, aren't we? Are we not? Hang on. Hey, what's that say at the top? What's your thoughts? Because they matter. I'm going to tell you this. Most of the things you're worrying about ain't going to happen. I'm going to go down through this quickly. How demons actually work is what we've been talking about the last couple of days, right? By the way, I'm going to get to the Holy Spirit here. I've been on this demon thing for a couple of days. I'm going to get on the Holy Spirit here. I'm going to start speaking victory to you here. Probably not today. How demons actually work? Well, they influence, they deceive, and they control. It's not what you think. When people think about demons working, they picture something dramatic. Possession, chaos, out of control behavior. But that's not how it usually looks. In fact, if that's what you're looking for, you'll miss what's actually happening. Because most of the time, demonic influence is not obvious. It's subtle. It's quiet. It shows up in the middle of ordinary life. The goal isn't chaos, lies, deception, and fear. The goal isn't chaos, it's deception. Let's simplify this. Demons don't need to make your life look crazy. They just need to pull you away from the truth. What? Casting down imaginations and every high and lofty thing that exalts itself. The devil just plants thoughts. Jesus said it plainly. He was a murderer from the beginning. He's always hated the truth because there's no truth in him. When he lies, it's consistent with his character, for he's a liar and the father of lies. And Paul warned in Corinthians, but I'm not surprised, even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. That's the goal. Not chaos, but deception. Wow. Twisting what's true. Making wrong look right. Making sin feel normal. That's how the demons influence you. If they can get you to believe a lie, they don't need to control you. You'll start making the wrong choices on your own. This is good. See, it starts in the mind. This is where it gets real. The primary battlefield is your thinking. Paul says we are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and destroy false arguments. This is the New Life Translation. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. Notice the language, strongholds, arguments, thoughts. That's where the battle is. It's in your mind. Most influence doesn't come through voices or visions. It comes through thoughts that feel completely like your own. The enemy planting thoughts. Take captive every thought. Thoughts like, oh, this isn't a big deal. No one will ever know. You deserve this. God will understand. See, that's how it starts. If you don't recognize where your thoughts are coming from, you're going to agree with them. They work through normal situations. Here's what makes this dangerous. It doesn't look spiritual. It looks normal. Wow. A married man traveling for work sits down at a hotel bar. There's a friendly, attractive woman sitting nearby. They start talking. Nothing crazy, nothing inappropriate yet. But here's what just happened. Situation was created. Conversation started. A door cracked open. Temptation is now in the room. Vinny, I give you permission to say boom. I give you permission right now to say boom, Vinny.
Boom.
Flee immorality, the Bible says, right? But here's what this is how it works. Not dramatic, just ordinary. The danger isn't the dramatic moments. It's the thousand small moments that nobody notices, including you. So they amplify what's already there. See, demons don't need to create new problems. They work with what's already there. They look for weak spots, patterns, insecurity, old wounds. Old wounds. Stop bleeding on me. Paul Newman said in some movie. Stop bleeding on me. They look for weak spots, patterns, insecurities, old wounds, and they press on them. They make them ooze. Sounds like this. You married out of your league. She's going to leave eventually. Your husband hasn't called you beautiful in months. Something's wrong here. You already messed up. What's one more time? See, those thoughts don't feel like attacks. They feel like logic. That's exactly the problem. The most effective lies are the ones that sound reasonable. Somebody other than Vinny, give me a boom. Somebody give me a boom. Huh? The most effective boom. Lies sound reasonable. Oh, boy, this is good. Not everything is demonic, and this matters. Let's keep this grounded because this is where people go wrong. Not every struggle is a demon. Sometimes it's just you, your flesh, your old nature. Paul said, I don't really understand myself. Well, I want to do what's right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do. Oh, wretched man that I am, Paul said. See, Paul wasn't describing demonic control. He was describing the internal battle that every believer knows.
Wow.
Wow. If you blame everything on demons, you never deal with what's actually going on inside you. If you ignore the spiritual dimension completely, you'll wonder why trying harder never seems to be enough. Both of those thoughts cost you. Both of those cost you. Not everything's a demon. Some of it's your nature. Wow. So agreement's the turning point. Here's a key moment that most people miss. Talking to you now. Me. Temptation doesn't become sin when it shows up. It becomes sin when you agree with it. Take captive every thought. Should I say that, Lord? I just that situation happened to me yesterday with my wife. I love my wife beyond all earthly things. And she said something. Hey, I had a zinger. I had a zinger, I'm telling you. And I bit my tongue. Because why? It would have been edifying to me, but it wouldn't have been edifying to her. So I just took captive that thought. I'm not going to say that. Boy, this is good, isn't it? See, temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions. And when sin is allowed to grow, it has a sin baby called death. A lot of you are creating little sin babies with your thoughts. You're not taking them captive, bringing them to the obedience of Christ. What does God say about this? Oh, I can look at that porn and get away with it. Okay, God will forgive me. Oh, good luck. That's stinking thinking right there. So you see the sequence, right? Desire, enticement, dragged away, sin, death. It's not always spiritual death. Sometimes it's death of a relationship. How many of you aren't in relationship with somebody you love dearly because of something one of you said? Hey, Vinny, double boom. And you got so much pride. I'm talking to me now. You got so much pride, you are not going to bridge a gap. You're not going to go down, get on your knees, say, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. And then get mad when they don't accept their responsibility. See, all you can do is go tell them you're sorry. Ball's in their court then. But you got to mean it. You said, well, she didn't apologize back. So? You're not in control of her. You're in control of you. And I'm going to let it go. I forgive him. I'm going to let it go. It doesn't happen all at once. A thought becomes a decision. A decision becomes an action. An action becomes a pattern. And suddenly you're stuck in something that started with a single moment of agreement. Oh, my goodness. The good news is that the moment of agreement is also a moment of choice. You don't have to say yes. You don't have to agree. You can take captive that thought and cast it away. Replacing lies with truth. So you don't fight this by trying harder. You fight it with truth. You fight it with truth. Paul puts it this way. We capture rebellious thoughts and teach those rebellious thoughts to obey Christ. Wow. Ephesians says the word of God is the sword of the Spirit, the one offensive weapon in the armor of God. That means when a lie shows up, you say something true. You don't agree with the lie. I bet he's having an affair at work. I bet. Why would anybody ever say that? Why would you speak that life into something? Here's what that looks like practically. If you struggle with sexual temptation, spend time in 1 Corinthians 6:18. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's been bought with a price. Say no. Just say no, Nancy Reagan. If you battle comparison or insecurity, sit with Psalm 139:13 through 14, because you are fearfully and wonderfully made, known completely before you were born. The hell's that other person got to do with it? Huh? You can't control that other person. Oh, they control you though, because you're angry, hateful. Oh yeah, every time you see them, you get angry. I'll be damned if I'm gonna let them control me. Wow. If you struggle with anxiety or fear, anybody listening? You place, I'm sorry, it becomes a pattern. Bring everything to God in prayer and let His peace guard your mind. Lord, here's what I think is going to happen, but here's what you say is going to happen. Lord, I believe that goodness and mercy is going to follow me all the days of my life. And Lord, even if this gets all screwed up, goodness, you're going to make something good out of it. That's your promise. Goodness and mercy is going to follow me. And Lord, this ain't going to be fun dealing with this, but I know that you're going to make good out of it. Boom. Somebody can't wait to pick up the phone and bleed all over somebody else and tell them what just happened to you, poor old. Amen. Somebody say amen. Stay aware. Don't be afraid. So let's land this. Demons are real. They influence. They deceive. But you don't need to be afraid of that. You need to be aware of it. Where did that thought come from? If I had said what I thought to my wife the other day, she'd be sleeping in the other bedroom still. Because even though it was truth, it would have wounded her. Huh? And Michelle, she's listening. It ain't that big a deal. I'll tell you what it is later, okay? Why would I do that? Do I want to encourage my wife or do I want to win an argument with her? Which is it? When she bleeds something out that's bothering her, am I there to help her or to criticize her? Which is it? Oh, that's stupid. Well, it isn't stupid to her. Stop worrying about that. Well, she can't stop worrying about it. That's the point. Because why? Demons are real. Michelle is not, I'm not possessed with the devil, but I'm influenced by him. I don't have a spirit of the enemy, but I'm influenced by him. Why? Thoughts. Take captive every thought. Demons are real. They influence. They deceive. But you don't need to be afraid of that. You just need to be aware of it. Because once you see how this works, you can recognize it. And once you recognize it, you can reject it. Devil, you are a liar. Satan, I'm on to you. You are not. You are no way that you're going to do that. That plan ain't going to work. It ain't going to work because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Okay, we got that straight. Take that garbage someplace else. Because that's so hard to do. Well, you're in a war. That's why they call it a spiritual war. And the weapons of your warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down those lies. That ain't true. Stop repeating it. Stop agreeing with the devil. Take captive every thought. I know it's not easy. But once you see how this works, you recognize it. Once you recognize it, you reject it. The enemy loses a lot of ground the moment you stop being surprised by what he says to you. Keep your eyes open. Keep your mind anchored in truth and keep your focus on Christ, because that's exactly where the enemy doesn't want you to be. He's trying to distract you away from the truth, away from your relationship with Christ, away from your relationship with your children, away from your relationship with your boss. He's trying to sow discord amongst the brethren, which is what the word says. God hates that. Hey, Spence, how quick are you? That's a proverb. God hates those who sow discord amongst the brethren. Where is that? By the way, we're the brethren here. We're the brothers. Some of you live in a family. You ain't got any brothers in your family. Sorry. Proverbs 6:14. What's it say? Frowardness is in his heart. He desires to mature. No. God hates those who sow discord amongst the brethren. Proverbs 16:18. And heart that deviseth wicked imagine, feet that be swift in running with false wisdom, man. And God hates a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord amongst brethren. God hates that. Why? Because that'd be Beelzebub doing that. The servants of Beelzebub are planting those thoughts in your head. Man, oh man. All right, good. Michelle, Zach just landed in Tampa. Cool. All right. Well, go back where I was. I got distracted there. Our son's on, took all his family and his in-laws. They took them all down to Florida for a week. Isn't that great? Okay. So, hey, stay aware, not afraid. Boy, that's a boom. Stay aware, not afraid. Huh? Bible says that the devil roams around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So you got your guards up. You got your antenna up. You are aware, not afraid. Demons are real. They influence. They deceive. But you don't need to be afraid of that. You just need to be aware of it. But once you see how this works, you'll be able to recognize it. And once you recognize it, you can reject it. The enemy loses a lot of ground the moment you stop being surprised by him. Oh, I knew that scowl. Oh, I recognize that, you wicked scoundrel. Bible says, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Get the hell out of here. In Jesus' name. Keep your eyes open. Keep your mind anchored in truth. Keep your focus on Christ. Because that's exactly where the enemy doesn't want you to focus. God, this is so good. Continue the series on angels, Satan, and demons. I thank God for the internet. Okay, come on down. You're the next contestant on The Price is Right. Raise your hand. I want to hear from you. What you say here matters. If you want to open it up so I can see your face, you can do that. You don't have to, whatever. By the way, this has been really worked out good because I haven't been distracted by people. And I didn't mean that you were a distraction, but it's kept me focused. Come on in, Craig.
Well, we're going to go back to the magnetic fields and that not every thought is yours, okay? But
oh boy.
Spencer,
oh boy.
Spencer, can you pull up 1 Chronicles chapter 21? Maybe, Coach, I mean, I can read it. I got, if you want.
What do you want me to read? And
just the first one. It's just
and
first
Satan
one.
Stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel.
Yeah, you got to stop there. Okay. Who provoked who?
Huh?
Yeah. Who got someone to do something that they weren't intending to do? Satan. Satan provoked David. Now, do you think he sat down across the table and said, hey, let's have a census here? No. No, he didn't.
Nope.
He implanted that thought.
Yep. Amen.
If God can harden Pharaoh's heart, okay, how did he do that? Did he put in extra, cholesterol? No. All right. He was able to use his own thoughts against him. God did.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh my goodness.
Okay. And so
yeah, when Craig. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Go ahead.
Right. So that thought about, look at all these people out here. Okay. Then Joab, his buddy comes along, right, and says, hey, you can't do this because only the Lord can call a census, right? So David goes in, makes a census, and basically 70,000 people die. Okay. So Spencer, can you put up and say magnetic fields on the brain? Can you cue that as a search engine?
Wow. You mean it's physical? It's not just spiritual? Wow.
Okay. The one that I got came up pretty good. But basically, maybe you could... how the magnetic fields influence the brain. Okay. They're using magnetic fields for
data medical centers, training. They call them data centers.
Well, there's a lot of magnetic resonance there. But the point that I'm saying is they're using magnetic fields to enhance memory, to do all these things. So what that's telling you is a magnetic field can have an effect on the human brain. Well, now let's extrapolate that and say, what if spirits have a magnetic field around them?
Hmm.
Then they would influence your brain, right?
Right.
So what if you have a spirit and it has a magnetic field, and you're trying to do something on your computer and do your show, but your computer's not accurate. You know, it's not putting the data in the right place.
Been there, done that. Been there, done that one.
Do you think it's just a happenstance that, well, the computer's just having a headache today, or is it actually a spirit over your computer trying not to get that message out? And so that's when it says take every thought captive. So if you don't have the God's word in your brain and your heart, you have nothing to fight it, except you're going to be led like a horse has a harness over its head, right? And a lead rope. It's going to take your brain wherever that horse is going to follow you, right?
That's right.
So anyways, that's
going to take you. That's right. That's right.
So that's the spiritual realm on your thoughts.
Hey, Craig, you think these data centers, you think they're emanating some type of magnetic force out there that might be impacting?
Oh, absolutely.
Wow.
Why do you think CERN is such a, people can go, look at CERN and talk magnetic fields. What does CERN do to the magnetic field of the local area and Earth when it operates? It's bringing in a portal of demonic entities. That's why they built CERN. Are you still
watching? Wow. Oh my goodness. Joe Allen, come on, Joe.
There are reports of cattle farms around these data centers that they're not having no calves. They're being stillborn.
That's Joseph, you're all over it again. Huh? All over it again.
The consequences of it. I think about this all the time. How many of you guys sleep with your cell phone by your bed? I do. It probably ain't good. Probably ain't good. Can I tell you what else is maybe I'll think about? My bed is right above my studio.
The internet's right here. Constantly on.
Constantly sending out something. In the unseen realm. Oh, that's so good. Okay, hang on. I want to finish with this today. Hey, folks, I love it with no faces. Because it's on the screen. Here's why. Because if I see your face, I'm talking to you. If I don't see your face, you're just an audience out there. And you get what I'm saying? It's made me relax. It's helped me to stay on. That's why chat comes every once in a while. Says, keep going. Because he's not sitting where I am, right? He's not sitting where I am. Pull up for me. I got so much. Pull up number three. Our old buddy, Russ Dizdar. Black Awakening. Spencer, we can put this put it at 1.75 because Russ talks slow. Remember I talked the other day about men's hearts failing them for fear for things coming upon the earth? I don't know if you guys know this or not. It's just my opinion. Russ Dizdar was taken out. I don't know why. I don't know how. I don't know why. He was taken out. His wife as well. Something happened in their home that caused both of them to die. I don't know what it was. So it was Rob Skiba, right? Russ Dizdar talking about the Black Awakening. The Black Awakening. Now I'm going to play this a little faster, but try to stay with it. We won't listen to all of it. God bless Russ Dizdar. What a God. We miss him so bad. Go ahead.
You have no idea how many. You have no idea what's coming. We smell Christian blood. We are waiting for our day. And when the call is given, millions of us will be released. And they looked at me and said, you believe in revivals and you believe in Pentecost and the power of God. You believe in all that. We believe in the Black Awakening.
Black Awakening. A Black Awakening. A Black Awakening.
So I look at you or I look here.
It's up to you. So, all right. What is the Black Awakening?
It's related to the Red Horse prophecy in Revelation. It's related to 2 Thessalonians 2 when it says about the day of the Lord, the parousia, that day will not occur until the apocalypse of the Antichrist and the apostasia, the word rebellion or revolt. That's all really defined in the prophecy of the Red Horse. But here's where the term came from and why I used it purposely. When I started dealing with richly abused individuals, and then we dealt with military-oriented, highly trained, you know, programmed shooters and assassins inside of them. When we began to deal with them, I dealt with someone from Fort Bragg for quite a while and a few others. We're sitting in a lake, Conneaut Lake. They reached over and ripped open my shirt to see if I was wired, if I was wiring and recording them. And they were the most sophisticated satanic warrior type person. They knew 5-6 languages. They knew the ancient twilight languages. They knew how to conjure. They knew how to use Belteshari, Ogwan, all these old Pictish languages of the Druids to summon. They are the real Luciferian. They've been through many human sacrificial things.
Hey, so put that in the chat. I'm not going to spend the time with it. Some of you don't want what. Listen, you want to know what's going on? Late Russ Dizdar. Miss you, Russ. Miss you. Okay, I got 9 minutes. I want to hear from you. Thank you, by the way. This show, in my heart, has done better because I'm not distracted by the faces and all that kind of stuff. So open it up. Come on in. What do you think? Hey, Spencer, and go ahead. I'm just going to sit here until somebody raises their hand and says something. Come on in, Craig, again. Craig's always got something to say. Go ahead, Craig.
Well, yeah, I always want people to talk.
I'm just kidding you. Go ahead.
Coach, you know, that magnetic field of the kitchen. Here's Rust was speaking with these entities. If you believe the man, he didn't just, you know, go out and have a drink or two with a few guys. He was speaking. He's giving us pieces of data and information.
Yes.
Okay. And this all ties in. Okay, Coach, this ties into what I've tried to say over years. Okay. We're at 4,900 years after the birth of Noah. That's why the days of Noah in the Bible. Okay. In 1954, after the war, Eisenhower goes missing. They are able to manifest now, is what I'm saying. After World War II, the 70 generations of Enoch 10 were able to manifest on the earth. And now we're in my opinion, they made a 70-year deal. We exchanged technology with them for, they get to use human, they get to take humans. They get to look at how to reproduce and stuff like that. Now that 70-year deal, 54 to 2024, has been kept. It's done. There's no contract, and now they're going to come loose. And that's why this Steven Spielberg film, the timing of this is not uncoincidental. This is the manifestation of what Russ is trying to tell us that he saw 4 to 5 years ago.
Amen. Amen. James Thomas. Come on, James. Hey, Spencer, get for me. It says Ray, 3-minute mark. Get that ready for me, okay? Go ahead. Go ahead, James.
Hey, brother. Good. It's always good. There's always stuff to glean from when you come into the huddle.
Thanks.
But, you know, I guess our the three main enemies, the entities of a believer, is the mind, will, and the emotion.
Me, myself, and I.
Me, myself, and I. And you know, I kind of had a little vision or dream that it's either the flesh, the mind, will, or the emotions that's going to drag the spirit man down. He's going to lead him. Or it's the spirit man that's going to lead the mind, will, and the emotions.
They captive everything.
They both are in contrition to one another.
Quit saying everything you think.
So we believe the devil does all this stuff. You know, Flint Wilson, the devil made me do it, but it's really not the devil.
Life and death is in the power of the tongue. There's power in words. Go ahead.
Absolutely. 100% agree. And you know, Jesus said in Matthew 18, verse 19, I think it was, if we come into an agreement on something, me and Dave's going to agree on something. He says, I'll do it for you. But that power of agreement works in the dark side as well.
Yes, sir.
So you hear something on the negative side, amen, and you repeat it with your mouth, you're agreeing with it.
James, we're agreeing with the dark side. That's why you have to take captive every thought.
Amen, brother.
We understand this electromagnetic field around us and understand how the enemy is electronically getting thoughts to us. It's electronic. I mean, it is. Sounds crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, you see this AI system, you know, if reading and studying in the book of Revelation, he says, out of the sea comes the beast.
Out of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Amen. Love you, brother.
Amen. Amen. Okay, look, I got to do this real quickly. God bless Ray. Ray, I am so proud of Ray LeBlanc. I just want you to see a little bit of this. He shows up at the city council and gives them heaven about drag queens. Put it at the 3-minute mark here. Proud of you, Ray.
Mike's doing glory to God. Yeah, my name's Pastor Ray LeBlanc. I'm with the Remnant Fellowship Church here in Marshfield, and I live at 309 West 6th Street. I'm here today to address a situation that comes up every year around this time, and that's the gay pride event at Wenzel Park. And I'm an advocate for the children under 18 years of age is my concern. The performances that are taking place there. That's why I'm here to address this issue today. As you can see, this was one of the Wenzel Park events last year where you see a little child being groomed to tip. There's a bunch of pictures I have taken. There's one on the top there. I know you can't probably see it very good, but it's one of the drag queens that invaded the splash pool where the little kids were playing. And Facebook was lit up over this event last year. And there's a few more there, but I want to read this quickly. I know I only got 5 minutes, so I gave you each a copy of what the statement is that I'm going to say. So I'm here once again this year because I am deeply troubled and concerned at the lack of this committee to properly address the concerns that arise here in Marshfield during the month of June. I don't believe the city of Marshfield should be in any way condoning, promoting, or allowing these sexual motivated groups called the Marshfield Pride, LGBTQ, the Rainbow Coalition, and the Drag Queens to be able to perform in the front of our innocent children under the age of 18 years old. It is quite obvious that this is all about sex. Grooming of our underage children should not be allowed. As you can see by this pictures.
Planting thoughts in the minds of children.
And encouraged to give a dollar bill to a man dressed up in provocative woman's clothing, overemphasizing their sexual body parts with exaggerated buttocks and breasts. That's what they do. This is called tipping, and we in the adult world understand what the concept of tipping a sex performer is all about. Exposing and performing sexual acts. Well, this act is not for children to participate in. And for 5 years now, I and many others that are willing to testify have seen and filmed this act and continue to record the lascivious behavior in front of underaged children in Wenzel Family Park. The letter of intent, it's on the back page there, I present to you today is to encourage you all to re-examine the negative effects that this sexualized group of performers are having on our children. I strongly urge and encourage that no children under the age of 18 may be present at these activities. They can perform inside a building in a fenced-off park, such as the state fairgrounds.
We're running out of time. God bless you, Ray. Look, folks, all of the freaking churches, all the pastors ought to be in that room with Ray LeBlanc. Instead, they say he's radical. Ray's radical because he doesn't want young kids to be thinking about sexual perverts and perversions, so they end up like, dare I say it, David Arthur? Wow. They think Ray's the pervert. See you tomorrow.